Chapter 136. And walked out. The old gentleman who had just been lathered, and who was sitting in a melancholy manner with his face turned towards the wall, appeared quite unconscious of this incident, and to be insensible to everything around him in the depth of a reverie, a very mournful one, to judge from the sighs he occasionally vented in which he was absorbed. Affected by this example, the proprietor began to clip Miss Kenwicks, the journeyman to scrape the old gentleman, and Newman Knox to read last Sunday's paper, all three in silence. When Miss Kenwicks uttered a shrill little scream, and Newman, raising his eyes, saw that it had been elicited by the circumstance of the old gentleman turning his head, and disclosing the features of Mr. Lillivick the collector. The features of Mr. Lillivick they were, but strangely altered. If ever an old gentleman had made a point of appearing in public, shaved close and clean, that old gentleman was Mr. Lillivick. If ever a collector had borne himself like a collector, and assumed, before all men, a solemn and portentous dignity, as if he had the world on his books, and it was all two quarters in arrear, that collector was Mr. Lillivick. And now, there he sat, with the remains of a beard at least a week old encumbering his chin, a soiled and crumpled shirt frill crouching, as it were, upon his breast, instead of standing boldly out, a demeanor so abashed and drooping, so despondent, and expressive of such humiliation, grief, and shame, that if the souls of 40 unsubstantial housekeepers, all of whom had had their water cut off for non-payment of the rate, could have been concentrated in one body, that one body could hardly have expressed such mortification and defeat as were now expressed in the person of Mr. Lillivick the collector. Newman Knox uttered his name, and Mr. Lillivick groaned, then coughed to hide it. But the groan was a full-sized groan, and the cough was but a wheeze. Is anything the matter? ? Said Newman Knox. Matter, sir? ? Cried Mr. Lillivick. The plug of life is dry, sir, and but the mud is left. This speech, the style of which Newman attributed to Mr. Lillivick's recent association with theatrical characters not being quite explanatory, Newman looked as if he were about to ask another question, when Mr. Lillivick prevented him, by shaking his hand mournfully, and then waving his own. Let me be shaved. ? Said Mr. Lillivick. It shall be done before Morlina. It is Morlina, isn't it? ? Said Newman. Kenwickses have got a boy, haven't they? ? Inquired the collector. Again Newman said yes. ? Is it a nice boy? ? Demanded the collector. It ain't a very nasty one, returned Newman, rather embarrassed by the question. Susan Kenwicks used to say, observed the collector, that if ever she had another boy, she hoped it might be like me. Is this one like me, Mr. Knox? This was a puzzling inquiry, but Newman evaded it, by replying to Mr. Lillivick, that he thought the baby might possibly come like him in time. I should be glad to have somebody like me, somehow, said Mr. Lillivick, before I die. You don't mean to do that, yet a while? Said Newman. Unto which Mr. Lillivick replied in a solemn voice, let me be shaved. And again consigning himself to the hands of the journeyman, said no more. This was remarkable behavior. So remarkable did it seem to Miss Morlina, that young lady, at the imminent hazard of having her ear sliced off, had not been able to forbear looking round, some score of times, during the foregoing colloquy. Of her, however, Mr. Lillivick took no notice. Rather striving so, at least, it seemed to Newman Knox, to evade her observation, and to shrink into himself, whenever he attracted her regards. Newman wondered very much, what could have occasioned this altered behavior on the part of the collector, but, philosophically reflecting that he would most likely know, sooner or later, and that he could perfectly afford to wait, he was very little disturbed by the singularity of the old gentleman's deportment. The cutting and curling being at last concluded, the old gentleman, who had been some time waiting, rose to go, and, walking out with Newman and his charge, took Newman's arm, and proceeded for some time without making any observation. Newman, who in power of taciturnity was excelled by few people, made no attempt to break silence, and so they went on, until they had very nearly reached Miss Morlina's home, when Mr. Lillivick said, "Were the Kenwickses very much overpowered, Mr. Knox, by that news? Apostrophe, apostrophe, what news? Apostrophe, apostrophe," returned Newman. "That about my being apostrophe, married?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," suggested Newman. "Ah! Apostrophe, apostrophe," replied Mr. Lillivick, with another groan, this time not even disguised by a wheeze. "It made Ma cry when she knew it, apostrophe," interposed Miss Morlina, "but we kept it from her for a long time, and Pa was very low in his spirits, but he is better now, and I was very ill, but I am better too. Apostrophe, would you give your great-uncle Lillivick a kiss, if he was to ask you, Morlina?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," said the collector, with some hesitation. "Yes, Uncle Lillivick, I would," apostrophe returned Miss Morlina, with the energy of both her parents combined. "But not Aunt Lillivick. She's not an aunt of mine, and I'll never call her one." Apostrophe, immediately upon the utterance of these words, Mr. Lillivick caught Miss Morlina up in his arms, and kissed her, and, being by this time at the door of the house, where Mr. Kenwick's lodged, which, as has been before mentioned, usually stood wide open, he walked straight up into Mr. Kenwick's sitting room, and put Miss Morlina down in the midst. Mr. and Mrs. Kenwick's were at supper. At sight of their perjured relative, Mrs. Kenwick's turned faint and pale, and Mr. Kenwick's rose majestically. "Kenwick's, apostrophe," said the collector, "shake hands." "Apostrophe, sir, apostrophe," said Mr. Kenwick's, "the time has been when I was proud to shake hands with such a man as now serves me. The time has been, sir, apostrophe," said Mr. Kenwick's, "when a visit from that man has excited in me and my family's bosom sensations both natural and awakening. But now, I look upon that man with emotions totally surpassing everything, and I ask myself where is his honor, where is his straightforwardness, and where is his human natter?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe, Susan Kenwick's, apostrophe," said Mr. Lillivick, turning humbly to his niece, "don't you say anything to me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she is not equal to it, sir," apostrophe said Mr. Kenwick's, striking the table emphatically. "What with the nursing of a healthy babby, and the reflections upon your cruel conduct, 4 pints of malt liquor a day is hardly able to sustain her." "Apostrophe, I am glad," apostrophe said the poor collector meekly, "that the baby is a healthy one. I am very glad of that." Apostrophe, this was touching the Kenwickses on their tenderest point. Mrs. Kenwick's instantly burst into tears, and Mr. Kenwick's evinced great emotion. "My pleasantest feeling, all the time, that child was expected," apostrophe said Mr. Kenwick's, mournfully, "was a thinking, if it's a boy, as I hope it may be, for I have heard its Uncle Lillivick say again and again he would prefer our having a boy next, if it's a boy, what will his Uncle Lillivick say? What will he like him to be called? Will he be Peter, or Alexander, or Pompey, or Diorgens, or what will he be? And now when I look at him, a precious, unconscious, helpless infant, with no use in his little arms, but to tear his little cap, and no use in his little legs, but to kick his little self, when I see him a-lying on his mother's lap, cooing and cooing, and, in his innocent state, almost a choking hissle with his little fist, when I see him such a infant as he is, and think that Uncle Lillivick, as was once a-going, to be so fond of him, has withdrawn himself away. Such a feeling of vengeance comes over me as no language can depict her, and I feel as if, even that holy babe was a-telling me to hate him. Apostrophe, this affecting picture moved Mrs. Kenwicks deeply. After several imperfect words, which vainly attempted to struggle to the surface, but were drowned and washed away by the strong tide of her tears, she spake. Uncle, apostrophe, said Mrs. Kenwicks, to think that you should have turned your back upon me, and my dear children, and upon Kenwicks, which is the author of their being you who was once so kind and affectionate, and who, if anybody had told us such a thing of, we should have withered with scorn like lightning. You, that little Lilivic, our first and earliest boy, was named after at the very altar. Oh, gracious! Apostrophe, was it money that we cared for? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Kenwicks. Was it property that we ever thought of? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Kenwicks, I scorn it. Apostrophe, so do I, apostrophe, said Mr. Kenwicks, and always did. Apostrophe, my feelings have been lacerated, apostrophe, said Mrs. Kenwicks, my heart has been torn asunder with anguish, I have been thrown back in my confinement, my unoffending infant has been rendered uncomfortable and fractious, Morlina has pined herself away to nothing, all this I forget and forgive, and with you, uncle, I never can quarrel. But never ask me to receive her, never do it, uncle. For I will not, I will not, I won't, I won't, I won't. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Susan, my dear, apostrophe, said Mr. Kenwicks, consider your child. Apostrophe, yes, apostrophe, shrieked Mrs. Kenwicks, I will consider my child. I will consider my child. My own child, that no uncles can deprive me of. My own hated, despised, deserted, cut off little child. Apostrophe, and, here, the emotions of Mrs. Kenwicks became so violent, that Mr. Kenwicks was fain to administer hartshorn internally, and vinegar externally, and to destroy a stayless, 4 petticoat strings, and several small buttons. Newman had been a silent spectator of this scene, for Mr. Lilivic had signed to him not to withdraw, and Mr. Kenwicks had further solicited his presence by a nod of invitation. When Mrs. Kenwicks had been, in some degree, restored, and Newman, as a person possessed of some influence with her, had remonstrated and begged her to compose herself, Mr. Lilivic said in a faltering voice, I never shall ask anybody here to receive my I needn't mention the word. You know what I mean. Kenwicks and Susan, yesterday was a week she eloped with a half-pay captain. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. and Mrs. Kenwicks started together. Eloped with a half-pay captain, apostrophe, repeated Mr. Lilivic, basely and falsely eloped with a half-pay captain. With a bottle-nosed captain that any man might have considered himself safe from. It was in this room, apostrophe, said Mr. Lilivic, looking sternly round, that I first see Henrietta Pettiker. It is in this room that I turn her off, forever. Apostrophe, this declaration completely changed the whole posture of affairs. Mrs. Kenwicks threw herself upon the old gentleman's neck, bitterly reproaching herself for her late harshness, and exclaiming, if she had suffered, what must his sufferings have been? Mr. Kenwicks grasped his hand, and vowed eternal friendship and remorse. Mrs. Kenwicks was horror-stricken to think that she should ever have nourished in her bosom such a snake, adder, viper, serpent, and base crocodile as Henrietta Pettiker. Mr. Kenwicks argued that she must have been bad indeed not to have improved by so long a contemplation of Mrs. Kenwicks' virtue. Mrs. Kenwicks remembered that Mr. Kenwicks had often said that he was not quite satisfied of the propriety of Miss Pettiker's conduct, and wondered how it was that she could have been blinded by such a wretch. Mr. Kenwicks remembered that he had had his suspicions, but did not wonder why Mrs. Kenwicks had not had hers, as she was all chastity, purity, and truth, and Henrietta all baseness, falsehood, and deceit. And Mr. and Mrs. Kenwicks both said, with strong feelings and tears of sympathy, that everything happened for the best, and conjure the good collector, not to give way to unavailing grief, but to seek consolation in the society of those affectionate relations whose arms and hearts were ever open to him. Out of affection and regard for you, Susan and Kenwicks, apostrophe said Mr. Lillivick, and not out of revenge and spite against her, for she is below it, I shall, tomorrow morning, settle upon your children, and make payable to the survivors of them, when they come of age of marry, that money that I once meant to leave them in my will. The deed shall be executed tomorrow, and Mr. Knox shall be one of the witnesses. He hears me promise this, and he shall see it done. Apostrophe, overpowered by this noble and generous offer, Mr. Kenwicks, Mrs. Kenwicks, and Miss Morlina Kenwicks, all began to sob together, and the noise of their sobbing, communicating itself to the next room, where the children lay abed, and causing them to cry too, Mr. Kenwicks rushed wildly in, and bringing them out in his arms, by two and two, tumbled them down in their nightcaps and gowns at the feet of Mr. Lillivick, and called upon them to thank and bless him. And now, apostrophe said Mr. Lillivick, when a heart-rending scene had ensued, and the children were cleared away again, give me some supper. This took place 20 miles from town. I came up this morning, and have been lingering about all day, without being able to make up my mind, to come and see you. I humored her in everything, she had her own way, she did just as she pleased, and now she has done this. There was 12 teaspoons and 24 pounds in sovereigns. I missed them first. It's a trial. I feel I shall never be able to knock a double knock again. When I go my rounds, don't say anything more about it. Please, the spoons were worth, never mind, never mind. Apostrophe, apostrophe, with such muttered outpourings as these, the old gentleman shed a few tears. But, they got him into the elbow chair, and prevailed upon him, without much pressing, to make a hearty supper, and by the time he had finished his first pipe, and disposed of half a dozen glasses out of a crown bowl of punch, ordered by Mr. Kenwicks, in celebration of his return to the bosom of his family, he seemed, though still very humble, quite resigned to his fate, and rather relieved than otherwise by the flight of his wife. When I see that man, apostrophe said Mr. Kenwicks, with one hand round Mrs. Kenwicks' waist, his other hand supporting his pipe, which made him wink and cough very much, for he was no smoker, colon and his eyes on Morlina, who sat upon her uncle's knee, when I see that man as mingling, once again, in the sphere which he adorns, and see his affections developing themselves in legitimate situations, I feel that his nature is as elevated and expanded, as his standing before society as a public character is unimpeached, and the voices of my infant children provided for in life, seem to whisper to me softly, this is an event at which evens itself looks down. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.